Hi, welcome to CITR 101.9. This is a special broadcast coming at you. I'm Dora, and today I'm joined by John.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
Nice.
So we just want to acknowledge that we are broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here on the UBC campus in Vancouver, BC. This next hour is going to be kind of like a meta interview for a Discord article that I'm doing on John for your show, Queued Up. So we're going to be discussing programming at CITR and how Queued Up like fits into that community.
I mean, not that Queued Up necessarily warrants its own article, but it does. An article could be written of it.
It definitely does.
It's the conduit through which we could have a really cool discussion about like programming today and what the young people like really need, which is great content on CITR 101.9 FM.
Both a valid and invalid argument at the same time, I would say. Queued Up is an amazing show. I'm just going to start out talking about my show.
Yes,
like
please.
And then we can like delve into how.
Can I play with the lights while you're doing this?
Oh,
it's
go
like
for
the
it.
Heat. It's like a real interrogation room style situation.
Yeah, live
which
your
good
life.
For interviews, just not the conversation.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, so yes, I'm Dora. I co-host the Film Society, the UBC Film Society show, The Real World, which is like chill. I'm also on CITR student executive. And this is my first article for Discorder.
Cool. What else do you do for Film Society?
I am the chairperson of the Film Society.
Wow, sick.
Thank you. But this isn't about me, John. This is all about you. You're the star of the show. So why don't you just like briefly introduce both yourself and Queued Up?
So yeah, I'm John, and I am the Ulm Reviews editor at Discorder Magazine. And I'm the incoming spoken word coordinator at CITR 101.9 FM, which entails sort of working with our collectives and helping them develop their spoken word skills, which has to do with interviews, production, research, sort of like working on training in general, and as an instance of helping people develop their skills, helping us produce a series of documentaries, which something I did last year as well, and participate in the production of a CITR documentary. I've done a variety of things at the station over the years, like started out as a volunteer, then became a student executive and a work study in a variety of roles. One that was very meaningful to me and that I'm doing in my current capacity as community broadcast coordinator is production. I was production coordinator from 2014 late to early 2015, and it's a sort of askew venue for creative output for someone that doesn't have a lot of talent, but has the drive to make really meaningful things like 30-second advertisements. You know, for kids who are like, who watched the Super Bowl when they were young because they wanted to see the fancy ads that you can see anywhere else, you know, that was my kind of thing. And I've done Queued Up for about maybe 3 years now, and I've always thought of it as like a show in gestation. Like ostensibly it is this you know, kind of free-for-all hour where I get to have a conversation with other people that I'm interested in having a conversation about or explore really strange thematic topics. Like I love having a thorough line, and I love making abstruse strange connections between different songs, and a playlist show where I get to play music, which I think is fun, which I guess over the years has kind of shifted from predominantly art rock, noise rock, hardcore, things like that, to more EBM, electronica, experimental vocal art, sound collage, ambient drone. So it's kind of become that too. But I say in gestation because it was never really meant to be a playlist show and has always wanted more to be like a, I don't know, like a conceptual narrative with music as the necessary bridge, as just a component of doing an hour-long show a week as a volunteer. So it's still really me working towards something. It's still me really working towards wanting to make something like that happen in the spirit of doing something that you couldn't really do elsewhere. And still having it be community, still having it be a playlist, having those elements there. Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know if I actually answered your question there.
That's okay. You did so much more. So the listeners and I appreciate it.
Yes.
For sure. This is just like kind of a silly question. I don't know if it's silly. I think that you will have an amazing answer for it. I think that a lot of the times people will hear this question and like kind of BS their way.
You're underplaying your incredible question. You should just shoot it out like just like pew, and then I'm struck.
Okay, I'm going for it.
Yeah, okay.
So how would you describe CITR programming? Like to you yourself, what does that mean? And then also, how does Cue It Up Maintainer contribute to that idea of what it is or even what it should be?
CITR programming is alternative. Of course, we are a not-for-profit station. We are a station with a mandate and a responsibility to represent the voices of people in the community and of the student body of UBC, but also the peoples whose voices are not given access, given the same amount of access, are shut out of the conversation when it comes to mainstream forms of media. It's built into our mandate, access to the technology, access to the skills, access to the actual space where people get to broadcast. And in that spirit, I think historically, CITR programming has been alternative, with sort of a punk bent, a sort of a like in-your-face college radio bent, which has been very cool. But, you know, it's also been a space for activism and for serious reporting, serious documentary, serious production. And it's like, I don't know, it's interesting how a station holds all those things together, especially CITR. You know, many community campus stations have programming blocks. So, like, all the classical shows are during this period, or all the metal shows are during. With us, it's just like anything goes. And it's really, really an interesting landscape to be in. So you make interesting connections as well. I think a really essential part of what good CITR programming should be. But if there is a deficit, it's that, with college stations, and I'm responsible for this too. That's why I think my show is in gestation, where it just becomes someone's iPod, you know, and that's great. That's incredible, I think. That's like the learning grounds. But also, what could be done is that people make content that has a signature that is marked upon the greater world, that is, you know, something you couldn't make elsewhere, something you couldn't just upload to SoundCloud, something like that. Or, you know, again, people have their own production studios now. But I guess how I fit into that is that, sure, you know, I play music, which is quote-unquote experimental. Like, I like to think of my show as an experimental show, but not necessarily just because of the music it plays. But like, how do I take more responsibility for this immense privilege I have, with like an hour-long slot on CITR 101.9, home to all these incredible, like George Barrett, The Rocker Show, Nardwar, of the Nardwar Human Serviette Show, the Jazz Show. Like, how do I take responsibility of this huge platform? Yes, and the real world.
Yeah, there we go. I was waiting for it.
Featuring Dora and Dawa, Fridays, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Yeah.
Please tune in.
Show
zero. Actually, you know my favorite, just random anecdote. Steve Jobs had this. Did you hear about this? Like, so there's this numbering system at Apple, and like Steve Wozniak got one or something like that, right? And Steve Jobs really didn't like this, so he made himself number zero.
That's
actual
so
fact,
funny.
But like,
so good. Of course you would.
Sorry, but yeah, I guess my show again. It's like, I think it's really important. And I should say, I don't know if I'm being too modest or not modest enough. Like, I think maybe a mixture of both. Because, like, I do have listeners, and I really appreciate that I have consistent listeners. And I really try and make sure that they have something to tune into every week. But I also don't think, like, realistically. Like, I think, again, the show is in gestation. And even if I were, like a superlative programmer, one of the station's bests, that it would still be a responsibility to try and do more, try and do something more special, more unique, or something which is more valuable in like a political context. And, you know, there is a political context to like making dumb, weird sound and noise. But like in the consciousness sense of like, if I have this hour, does that mean that there's a documentary that could have been played that won't be played? Does that mean that there's a voice for activism that could have been played that wouldn't have been played? And so if my position is that my show is meant to maybe, you know, take the piss out of or like kind of deconstruct or just, you know, nothing lofty. I'm not doing anything that great. But to play with like mainstream media and make possible something else, then like, am I doing a good enough job of that? And does it warrant me having this time on this incredible station, is what I try and do. And then I, again, to actually answer the question in the strictest sense, I'm trying to do more like weird amateur sound art. I'm trying to do more narrative and audio essay, like in the fun sense, in like, it's not something you get to hear a lot on the radio. Or even in podcast form necessarily. I mean, you know, there's documentaries, there's things like that, but something of what I'm doing, which is try and meld sound collage with critique, I'm not there yet. Like, I'm really not. But hopefully I think my best episodes kind of give a glimpse into what that might look like.
Yeah, I would say that you're definitely at least, like, on the road to it, if I can give my opinion.
We're all on the road to somewhere.
I mean,
that's another thing I do. I drop incredible witticisms, yeah, just ancient Chinese wisdom constantly on the air. I'm ethnically Chinese. I'm not just saying that to say it. Sorry.
That's a good disclaimer. Yeah. But I will say that the episodes that I've listened to are like they're music that I would never have heard mm-hmm. anywhere else. And, a lot of like, kind of like spoken word esque mm-hmm. conceptual monologues, which are like very enjoyable, like very
Thank you.
Nice.
It is interesting. I occupy a very strange time spot. I'm neither early enough or late enough to make the show as weird and noisy as it ought to be. And I actually, Wednesdays are very interesting. Like, I occupy the same spot as The Burrow on Mondays, which is Andy Resto's show, and it's sort of music that he just thinks is good, and interviews with artists. And interviews with artists is something I actually try not to do, because that's something I do through other capacities. And, you know, I don't want to make it too much of a talk show, but
I don't think it would fit your aesthetic.
my wholly singular and unique aesthetic. Patented. Hashtag.
Chuck you.
But like, yeah, The Burrow is like the kind of show that I think is absolutely incredible for a playlist show. It's absolutely what you should aspire to. And I think it's interesting because, like, it's our music director show, Andy Resto, and he started around the same time that I kind of got back into doing my show in a big way. And we're kind of like mirrored. We both have the 3 to 4 slot on, well, I have Wednesday, he has Monday. Another thing is Pop Drones, which has been a long running experimental music show. In fact, in my mind, it's like the cool experimental music show on CITR to listen to right now. And that's in the mornings on Wednesdays. So I kind of feel like sometimes like I'm like just, you know, it's Pop Drones and Mark's just he is always bringing the best and like, not most obscure, but like stuff that you are, I have certain patterns. And if you look deep enough, like if you Da Vinci this shit, you will see that like I have some sources which I really lean on, whereas Mark is always bringing in cool stuff. So like, again, it's like in every aspect, even if I don't want to just be doing a playlist show, I should still be pushing myself to go, because like I can just be like, these are the sources that I got my music from, but like, you know, to go beyond that. But yeah, Pop Drones is another show I really look up to.
Cool. Yeah, there's some very exemplary, just like quality shows on
CITR. It is weird, you know, Pop Drones. Again, it's early in the morning. Not early, but like mornings, Wednesday. And then it's like, hey, it's me. I'm here too, John, with my experimental show.
I'm good too.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very interesting. Thank you for sharing. I will give a disclaimer to the listeners now. Dora picked the music. I'm not a music person. We're going to hit you with a couple songs.
I think that's so cool, though, like when people who don't style themselves is like, I am a critique and I know the, and it's like, because like there's so much affect there, and it's like, just this is going to be very real. I think. This good. Is just, this is, you. It's not like, no, what I mean is like, not someone like, oh, is this going to sound cool or not? It's just like, this is the real shit.
Yeah.
This is it.
That's me. I know what's up. So, yeah, I think I did an okay job. I don't know. I don't think I modeled it. I like tried to model after Cue It Up, but I just want to say I did my best.
What are we gonna hear now?
Okay, good. Thank you. So we're gonna listen to Highlight by Resonate, with a Z, from the Vancouver Collective Monster Cat label.
Cool.
And then Silver Smiles by Toronto's Helena Heron. And then there'll be a couple PSAs.
The truth is, I don't even listen to music, actually. I just listen to the same techno beat, like, for hours on
that's,
end.
That's all. Like, that's all.
While staring at an extremely aesthetic plain white wall.
I can see it. That sounds like fun. I dig it.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Let's hear these.
Okay.
Hot tunes.
Okay.
She's the type of girl to treat a Tuesday night like a Friday. What's that in a cup? She don't really know, but it's working. High off these pills, 6-inch heels and attention. She might want the world, but she might need an intervention. I am speak freely. Don't let them think you're needy. Don't fuck first night ideally, no. Look at her go. Almost done crossing off your checklist. Pulling up slow. Presidential suite out in Vegas. Seen a spotlight that you don't like, yeah. So gonna show me why you the queen of the nightlife. Oh, you're my highlight.
Highlight girl, highlight time of magic and change in the realm of Discordia. Discorder's format has once again transformed with the changing of seasons and years. September's Discorder magazine. Experience it anew.
Is there any way that you can be graceful when...
Featuring cover artist Craftition, articles on Wishkicker, Art Deco, and Hick, album reviews for Ramsey and Japanese Girls, and live show reviews of Art Swells, Space Melt, and more. Experience the transformation. Pick up a copy of Discorder at local record stores, venues, and more. Thank you to Discorder's advertisers. Vinyl Records, Recruit in Canada, Rickshaw, Fringe, Zipcar, Astoria, AMS, Don't Argue, Hastings Crossing, BIA, Live Band, The Rio, Shindig, Timber, Neptune, Viv, Unip Hit, Dead Offensive, Flemish Eye, Volunteer Media. Hold us all together in one as the winter comes.
All right, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay, okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we. You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France. Montreal, what the f***?
It's the script.
I couldn't even, what? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain's just back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that, because even a f***ing elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR production department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
I call it transcendence. I call it transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
For a cultural backwater like Vancouver, it just bursts with violence. It's got every absurdity and nihilism of the world.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver. Every absurdity and nihilism of the world since 1937.
It'll play off Broadway. I can see it now.
Doing? This is Sean from Youth Brigade. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey, and welcome back to our special episode. It's me and John. John.
Hello.
King. Hi. We're doing like a weird meta interview for this Discorder article that I am writing for Discorder.
It's very cool.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
I think there's like two things you can do with like good late night slots which aren't open yet or which are totally open and no one's necessarily occupying them is do weird meta radio commentary for like the real radio lovers, the real fans, and karaoke. I've only done that once.
Oh
though.
My god, karaoke, like, is genius.
Yeah, you gotta do it at least once on air. It's a lot of fun.
If you could mix the two of them together somehow, then
oh absolutely.
Yeah,
in fact like 24 hours of student power is something the station does every year, and that is the place for after 12, after midnight. It's just karaoke.
Bonkers.
Yeah, we just played some promos, and I produced most of those. But I actually have one that I was telling you about, and I'm trying to be a bit quick. I don't know what time it is right now. Is it? Okay. Yep. You just waved it. You just, like, destroyed the, like, time, space, like, like, whatever. No. So it's one by, it's produced by, it was produced by a series of interns and our programming director, Robin Allam. And
when was this?
A few years ago. So basically, all of our shows on CITR have to have promos. That's just part of the agreement you have when you have a show. But a lot of our shows don't have promos. And like Robin was like, oh, we better get some promos out there up on the air. And so he enlisted two interns. And it's amazing. If you listen to it, it's like a genius produced it. Like it's so out of the ordinary, so like beyond convention. I really love it. And you'll also notice that it has like clips from Johnny Depp's Transcendence. It's not his movie. Well, it is in Soul. Like, it's his movie. He is the star. He's in it. But yeah, it's just absolutely bonkers. And like, that's just like, yeah, why not? Like, do it. Like, let's get some amateur producers. They don't have the most experience. Let's make this promo. And it's probably my favorite, even though it's not by any like technical standard or like orthodoxy, not standard, because I think technically it's quite good, but like by any orthodoxy it's certainly not incredible, but it's super cool. And also there's some other stuff in there, like I didn't add in there for like CITR is completely volunteer run, and for the time being I'm in charge of the production department, and I really want people to come in and voice act and like create. It's, you know, so many people love to talk about, I love to be a voice actor, but like if you're not in drama or voicing like your friend's projects, you're not going to get that voice acting experience necessarily. You're not going to get that production experience, but you learn how to do that stuff here at the station. So
and
that's
it's
just
so accessible too.
Yeah, exactly. So that's me and my friend Rohit, who I did the first Elf PSA with. And there's another Elf PSA in there that I can do my Elf voice if that's desirable. But like, I love
if
the
you're
Elf.
Feeling it.
Welcome to CITR 101.9 FM. I do a lot of weird voices.
Oh,
like,
my
I did Santa.
God.
There's like pitch shift there. Like, it's not just my voice. There is pitch shift involved. But yeah.
That didn't sound like you though.
I mean, reasonably. I the thing is, I have like three voices, and that's it. They're all not useful for subterfuge or anything like that. Like, I can't infiltrate anything. But yeah. So I did that, and it was just ad-libbing. Like, that's not scripted. Obviously it's not scripted, you can hear it when you listen to it, but that's just like the recording from the session we did, and it was like tons of fun. It was so dope. My script was fucking awful. That's why he's laughing his ass off, because it's indecipherable. So you know, please come and do a better job than me. And then there's also a Discorder ad, which I just love. I have a whole like mythology of Discorder ads in my mind. Like, there's a whole winter motif. There are the elves. It's real weird. You gotta make your weird radio mythologies. Like, that's a real, you know, shows like Skald's Hall, are bringing that back to CITR. But like, the radio, there's nothing wrong with the radio drama format. It's something that this interview just got real weird. It's like, oh, John's gone off the tracks again.
That's okay.
Now he's talking about radio serials, even though he was born in the 90s. Like, you know,
you can be an expert on whatever you want to be an expert
in. That's true.
We appreciate all the knowledge.
Yeah.
Although you are leading me perfectly into one of my questions.
Great.
So,
which is, I'm gonna go to the pit now. Actually, it's pit night for those of you who are listening. I gotta go party. I have to go get wrecked. I have to go get destroyed at the pit.
Oh my god! Stop. Just every word out of your mouth, my soul is just like pained with a dart.
Yeah, there are demons in this room, you know? It's true.
And the pit just like really makes them
angry.
It's
the pit. That's where the demons reside, in the bottomless pit.
Okay, but you did a really amazing interview for CITR's 100 Doc series. It was so engaging. Everyone should watch it or listen to it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Just for people, I guess, a really quick kind of recap. It's about like the transformation of PSAs and kind of radio culture.
I did a documentary for that whole initiative, and I'm really bashful about it because it was my first major spoken word piece.
It was
super
good.
Thank you. It means a lot to hear. It really does mean a lot to hear that.
Good.
But it's about two primary things. It's about the production department at CITR and how it kind of became this repository for like weirdness and like weird kids from all over Vancouver, but also like how it began to interface with like noise art and hardcore punk and like all these different subcultures in Vancouver at large, and like how that was reflected in the kinds of PSAs that CITR was making. Because like if you listen to a CITR PSA from any given time period, and we have them going back to like the 60s when we were not broadcasting out into the FM channels, into the FM channel frequency, like you get such a good idea of what it was like back then and what the atmosphere was like and what the attitude was like. So it's a lot about that, but it's also like in tandem, because you do have this entire system which is like interfacing with the outside world and the art world and the world of activism. It's like, what does that mean that the purpose of a station is? Because like we're making these PSAs, are they informational? Are we a public service announcement delivery system? Like, are we meant to be educational? Are we meant to be like deliberately like making things which are like noisy and weird and like challenges the mainstream? Like, what is our purpose? I just thought that those would be, I don't know, I was doing production, a lot of production at the time, and was just like, gee, it sure is fun listening to like old reels from the 70s.
It is fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I encourage people to do it themselves. Like, there's so much great content.
Yeah. It was really just striking how much we have. Mm-hmm. Like, how much content we have.
And there's more. Like, it's hidden away. And it's only a fraction of what we ended up making.
Yeah.
But,
so you've already kind of answered this question a little bit. But
sorry.
No, it's okay. I guess, like, are there, besides, like, kind of, I want to say almost, like, the surface of, like, what actually happened, is there anything, like, about the station culture shift that, like, really stuck with you? And then also, or, like, even, like, anything you learned in that experience of doing that documentary that mm-hmm. has, like, really influenced your show and what, like, it might become? Because you said it was just gestational almost. Mm-hmm. So, like adding noise art and adding kind of, like, punk influences mm-hmm. to, like, the more, like, spoken right. word creation of your show.
I guess on the first part of that, and then I don't know how long this answer will be. I'll try and keep it short, but like, and you might need to ask me the second part of that question again.
Okay.
The first part of that, it's like, I'm not like a cool dude necessarily.
Lies.
Like, I'm not like the archetypically, at least I certainly wasn't when I first started at CITR. And there has been such a climate of change at the station over the years that has made it into a space. And, you know, there's so much more that needs to be done. There always is more to be done. Like, never rest on your laurels, especially when you're purporting to represent, like, marginalized voices. Never rest on your laurels. But, like, what is, you know, because it's an alternative radio station, so there's the image of the station as, like, it's always been progressive and it's always been no baggage, it's always been, you know, like, friendly. I mean, you know, you listen to the documentary, there's like racist stuff in the reels, there's like real nasty racist stuff, and like it's not always like, you know, I sourced this like ridiculous like skit of, I think, a ping pong match between a Chinese and a Japanese tennis table champion, and it was like this ridiculous dramatization of a non-event, you know, it was like a skit. But like it had no, it was so odd too, because I couldn't tell why it existed or like where, what it was for. It just seemed like it only existed to amuse some, you know, good old boys who just had access to the studio someday. And, you know, like it's so, you know, I'm aware of the historical connotations of all that, but it does make me wonder, like, if I came in at an earlier time, if I was coming in during the 80s, 90s, of course, there's so many factors in there, but would I have felt comfortable? Like, and to what degree would I have had to feel comfortable? And even today, it's like, if I'm of the percept, because like speaking, and I'm getting quite personal now, it's like, a lot of the cultural cash and cultural capital that I've accrued has helped me bypass the fact that, like, I'm a Chinese person. And I go to very many parties where I'm often the only man who is a minority or the only man who is of Southeast Asian descent. And even, like, in my teen years as a child, I was frequently told that, like, oh, you know, like, I consider you white by my white friends, or, like, I remember once I was driving up to Whistler, and, you know, in Richmond, I grew up in Richmond, there's such a, like, racist culture there, which which has to do with like bad drivers, namely Chinese drivers. But I was driving up to Whistler with my friend and my friend's mom once, and my friend's mom was just, you know, rattling off about Chinese drivers, because it's something you do when you, you know, not to excuse it, but it's totally a Richmond thing to do. Not just Richmond, everywhere, but like totally a Richmond thing to say. And then my friend was like, yo, what are you saying? And then she's like, it's fine. I like John, like you're white. You're like, and you're like not Chinese. Like, I don't see you as Chinese. So it's like so interesting how that cultural cash and capital that I've accumulated is tied intrinsically to this history of actually like a kind of passing. And that's just something that I think we still have to be really conscious of at the station, because it is still a predominantly white station. And part of the reason why I felt comfortable coming on the air is because I play music that predominantly white-dominated publications. Like, I play Pitchfork shit. Like, I play, like, you know, 20 to 30-year-old alt-white male music. It's the music that they will think is cool. And that is a big part of why I am construed as having cool taste in music. So like, you know, not all of this is going to make it into the magazine. It's pretty tangential and personal. And like, but like, those are the really big difficulties, I think, is that alternative radio and the alternative rock scene in general has a big hump to get over in terms of representation and who feels like they're invited, who feels like they're welcome. But yeah, no, another big thing is like CITR has changed. Like I told you about an anecdote earlier, and I won't repeat it, although for the article, I think it would be quite fun to use. I could try and source it for you, like, so you get the exact quote. But like, you know, CITR and Discord had a reputation of being very snobby and very elitist and very community oriented, not at all oriented towards the interests of students, because students like Ariana Grande, you know, right? So like, would I have felt comfortable coming into that environment? I don't know. I really don't know. And I can tell you what, the moment I was really hooked into CITR is when someone who is very much part of the new wave of making the space more inclusive, more open, was someone who reached out and like really invited me to come in and be a part of the community. And like, I don't know if that pull has always been there in the past. What I can say is that like, even as someone who makes content, you know, and I, at the end of the day, I'm kind of a music snob. I think a lot of music is not that great. But like, and I make content which makes, I think, most people, and not like as a statement of pride, but just like because it's what I like, I make content that makes people raise their eyebrows very frequently. I've invited people to interview in here, and they tell me that sometimes I do this weird Eric Andre thing where like I'm suddenly really alienating and like just stilted and bizarre. Like it's weird performance art, but like outside of the studio, it all comes back to like who feels invited. How do we like hold on to that mandate to create alternative content while making sure that everyone feels welcome and everyone feels like they can be a part of the station, including you listening right now. Friends, go to CITR.ca to learn how you can volunteer or be a part of Vancouver's oldest campus community radio station since 1937.
Or if you're at Pit Night, come to the station right now.
Yeah, come Pit Night. Let's smash this. Let's get real crazy.
Get trash.
Let's go into the washrooms and like kick the trash cans around or something.
When I was in high school, it was a thing for boys to go into the men's room and light the garbage cans on fire and the contents of the garbage cans on fire.
Why would you do that? The janitors in this building are lovely.
They did it every day for like a week in September. It was rough. But this feels like a very natural place to kind of stop and put some tunes on.
Great, yeah.
So right now we have... So the song is called Elastic Layer, mm-hmm. By this Brooklyn-based artist whose name is Fang.
Cool. Oh, yeah, Fang. Sick.
I'm really into her right now. And then my favorite one on this playlist, Rarity Fighting a Giant Crab by Cats Millionaire.
Yeah.
And then some more community
It's time
messages.
To reclaim My Little Pony.
Reclaim it. I agree. It's an amazing, mm-hmm. amazing show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so enjoy.
Thank you.
Back with our weird little like meta great interview.
Excellent situation.
On CITR 101.9. I'm Dora.
Yeah.
Do you have my John Q?
Is Dora?
Dora.
No, is Dora.
Dora, I'm joined by Jonathan Q. We're talking about a show queued up and CITR in general.
I hate how regal my name is.
Jonathan
My middle
Q.
name is Daniel. Jonathan Daniel Q.
I'm Dora Rose Duber.
Yeah, very powerful names.
It's a beautiful
RDR?
Yeah.
DRD.
Ruber.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're just going to play a couple more songs.
Yep.
Bones by Croy, coming out to you out of Montreal.
Sick.
And thank you. I did my research. And Lost by Thania E-A, I-Y-E-R.
Pronounce it our way on CITR. Your way. Yeah. You can do it your way.
Yeah, I'm sure she appreciates it. But thank you so much for listening and indulging to us today, CITR listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being on the show on our special broadcast, John.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
This was a lot of fun. I hope it was invigorating for people who are tuned in.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Stay tuned because Screen Girls are up next, and they always put on a hell of a show. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do this thing on my show. The real world. So we say thanks for tuning in, shout out to, and we usually do an actress or actor. So I'm just
Did you hear Tilda Swinton was at the Cinematheque the other day?
Don't tease me.
No, for real, this happened.
Oh my God.
I wasn't there.
But I heard. But I'm just going to do it. And it's going to be like kind of meta.
Okay.
So thanks for tuning in. Shout out to Bill Mullen.
Shout out to Dora Duber.
Woo. Okay.
Okay, so great.
It will be the